The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Andrea McIrvin with KCHE Radio. Andrea, you can start us off with your questions for Senator Grassley.
Well, hello, Senator, and thank you for talking with us today. I appreciate you taking the time.
And I appreciate you participating.
Absolutely. I am filling in for Nikki Thunder, who's our news director, but she had some questions she wanted to make sure I asked you. And we're going to start with, following the Orlando nightclub shooting, many Democrats were calling for more gun control. And it was also revealed that the shooter was on the FBI investigation list and he was still able to get weapons. Can you tell us why it's so hard to come to an agreement on these tougher background checks and what your view is on it?
Yeah. First of all, though, I think it's legitimate, all the questions you ask, and I'll answer your questions about guns. But first of all, this person bought guns legally, so you got to keep your eye on the ball. And the ball is that we ought to be talking about extreme Islamic terrorism. And he made that very clear when he was shooting and killing, saying God is great. His Facebook had posts along the same lines. He had 9/11 calls where he talked about it. I think we got some reference to call to his wife along the same line. And we got to get to the base problem of these killings by people that want to kill Americans, and that's this extreme Islamic terrorism. Now, on the question of guns, whether it's connected with terrorist activity like we had here or any other time you talk about guns, most of the debate and division is the respect that people want to give to the Second Amendment as a fundamental right declared or meant to be that way by the writers of the Constitution, but most recently declared that way by the Supreme Court in two different decisions. And the respect for that. And so Democrats seem to think that it's okay to maybe deprive people of their fundamental Second Amendment right to lawfully buy guns if they're on the no-fly list. A lot of people got on the no-fly list that aren't a threat. Senator Kennedy's one example we always cite. So one approach to solving these problems is to make sure that due process is in place in regard to your name being on the list. And then if your name can't be on the list, you can lawfully buy guns. If you had due process and your name still remains on the list, then you can't buy guns. And Democrats seem to want to go the other direction, deny people guns and not worry about the due process. And that's the main difference. But I want to make it very clear. Nobody wants terrorists to have guns. Next question.
All right, Senator. About your statement of the Judiciary Committee hearing on oversight of the Drug Enforcement Administration, could you maybe talk about your statement that you recently had on that?
Yeah, I'm going to be paraphrasing it because I don't have it in front of me. But if you want the exact words, you can go to my website and get it. But here's where we are. The hearing did bring up some other things, but let me tell you the purpose of the hearing and most of the questions I ask and my statement. The Drug Enforcement Administration has not been cooperating with the Inspector General of Justice Department and the Government Accountability Office. And in regard to the Inspector General, the law is very clear that the Inspector General should have all information that he needs to make sure he does his job, which job is to make sure that the Drug Enforcement Administration does their job according to law and according to congressional intent. There's been some improvement made under a new director, but still there's problems, and we were reviewing these. And they deal with investigations in regard to somebody that was locked up for 5 days without food and water by the Drug Administration, and you'd expect people to be punished that were the employees that just about sent that person to his grave, but there was limited punishment, and they're still on the payrolls. And then there's other instances like that. And if in our bureaucracy, if heads don't roll, nothing changes. And you just got to keep the pressure on to make sure that this stuff that ought to be transparent about the public's business, because the public's business ought to be public, and people are doing their job. That's what the oversight hearing was about. That's what my questions were about. And our investigation is going to continue. But we're going to do everything we can to make sure the Inspector General gets the information he needs, not only for the investigations I talked about that day, but going into the future.
All right. I appreciate that. And now moving on to a different topic, can you tell us what's being done regarding the rise of crime that seems to be targeting older Americans? We're hearing about more scams and different sorts of crimes targeting them. What's being done to maybe stop that?
Well, I think, first of all, you do a lot of public announcements to make sure that people are alerted to it because they're vulnerable. And I put out some things on this very recently. And I think it's mostly constantly reminding people that, and particularly older people, that they can be taken advantage of. And that's kind of where we are, and I think it's that simple. But government's got a big role to play in this, and that's my involvement in it. And so because of one way to bring attention, as I just said about the Drug Enforcement Administration, another one is to have hearings on almost any subject you want to. So I'm currently looking into the problem your question raises, and we're going to have a hearing on that very issue next week. A lot of it gets into what we call elder abuse, but it isn't just elder abuse, because usually the term elder abuse involves people that have had relationships with an older person over a long period of time, as opposed to your question, where somebody gets a phone call or somebody knocks on your door or somebody says, you know, I want to check your furnace, and then all of a sudden your furnace is torn apart and you got to buy a new one. That happened to my mother 60 years ago.
Exactly. Well, as we get closer to the 4th of July holiday, I thought I would ask if there's anything you'd like to say to your constituents for the 4th of July holiday.
Yeah. I think that what the Declaration of Independence is all about is what the 4th of July ought to be about, and we tend to forget it. But the Declaration of Independence not only separated the colonies from the mother country, Great Britain, but it spelled out as the reason that Englishmen on this side of the ocean were having their constitutional rights under the British government not respected. And they laid out a principle that in the Declaration of Independence that's very unique in 6,000 year history of humankind, and that is that we don't get our rights from our government, but the rights belong to the people. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In other words, if government gives them to you, they can take them away from you. But if they're yours, God-given, they can't take them away from you. And that was best spelled out in the 9th and 10th Amendment to the Constitution 11 years later, when they said in the 10th Amendment, well, they said in the Bill of Rights. Well, I guess the Bill of Rights were passed 3 years later after the Constitution was written. But anyway, whenever it was, they listed 8 Bill of Rights. And then they said, well, we don't know how many rights we have because they come from God. They don't come from government. So none of the first 8 amendments, according to the 9th Amendment, are disparaged. All those other rights are not disparaged because you list 8 of them. And then it goes on to say that the principle of limited government in the 10th Amendment, all power is not given specifically to the federal government, are reserved to the states and the people thereof. I want to thank you, Andrea, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.